At one time in this country, thousands of children and adults with disabilities were sent away to state institutions. Many of them died there, isolated and forgotten. Now there's a growing movement to mark and honor the graves of people who lived and died as wards of the state. Earlier this month, a Remembrance Day was held at the Pine Hill Cemetery to commemorate former residents of the Brandon Training School, Vermont's state institution for people with developmental disabilities. Sarah Yam reports.
When Gary Wade first started working at the Brandon Training School, it was already on its way out. Right before it closed for good, in 1993, he remembers teaching residents how to use the document shredders.
We took the clients into those rooms, and we taught them how to shred the papers.
While Gary was sorting through the paperwork, he found letters written by one of his favorite clients, Flossie Howe, from the 40s and 50s. She was asking to leave.
I would really like to leave here. I don't feel like I belong here. I think I have a job in Pittsburgh. And, you know, 40 years later, she died here. I think she was 92 or 93. Flossie had been here since she was like 16 or 17. She's buried across the street.
Well, good morning, everybody. Can you hear me?
Even though it's rainy and cold, really nearly 100 people are gathered across the street from the training school in the Pine Hill Cemetery in Brandon, Vermont.
Today, we are here to remember and honor the people who are buried at the Pine Hill Cemetery and those who once lived at the Brandon Training School.
There are former staff members, former residents, and a younger generation of disability activists who are here to pay their respects. They're unveiling a plaque and placing headstones on the graves of two former residents. Carolyn Eastman and John Crichton stand in for a whole generation of people who were labeled as mentally deficient and isolated from the rest of society. Joan Stevens used to work at Brandon.
At the age of 7, Carolyn was brought to Brandon by the overseer of the poor. Was it because the family did not have the money to care for her? After all, it was 1939, and the country was in the midst of the Great Depression.
Even though Carolyn left Brandon in the 70s and moved to a group home, she was buried here in this graveyard just 5 years ago, because the state still allows former residents who have no place to go to be buried at Pine Hill free of charge. Although disability rights activist Nicole LeBlanc was just a kid when the training school closed for good, she feels a profound connection to Carolyn and Flossie Howe and the others who are buried here.
Yeah, in some ways I almost feel like, you know, they're family in a way, like ancestors.
And it pains her that they're stuck at the training school forever, separated from the rest of society.
I walked through the graveyard. And seeing it segregated like that is disappointing, and it's painful, and it's inhumane.
The training school plot in the Brandon Town Cemetery is pushed up against the highway and faces the red brick buildings of the old Vermont institution. Although over 2,000 people lived at Brandon from 1915 to 1993, there are only 83 recorded graves. Some residents were buried back with their families, but activist Karen Topper thinks there's more research that needs to be done and more graves to be found.
It's just that the first people that were buried in that cemetery were in 1963. We have a little bit of more digging to do here. I mean, I'm pretty curious. Where are the other people that were buried between 1920 and 1963?
As Karen Topper points out, this is only the beginning of a longer process. Across the United States, there are hundreds of former asylums, prisons, hospitals, reformatories, and schools with thousands of undiscovered and unmarked graves. But slowly, town after town, people are beginning to match names to bodies, stories to stones. For NPR News, I'm Sarah Yam.